You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Veronica Rickert will be back tomorrow.
We're listening to the theme song from Broad City, a show on Comedy Central focusing on the lives of two women in New York City. The show's third season just premiered last week.
The episode sparked a lot of discussion about how we're in the time of the platonic rom-com, or the golden age of female friendship. Our next guest just wrote a piece about female friendships on TV. She says from Lucy and Ethel of I Love Lucy to Abby and Alana of Broad City, the best love stories on TV are between two women in a platonic relationship.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Who is your favorite female twosome, your favorite female friendship on television? What do you think about the idea that the best platonic love stories on TV are between two women friends? Can you think of any shows that fit or go away from that trend? Call 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Molly Eichel is with us now. She's a contributor for the AV Club and TV writer at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Molly, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
So let's lay out your argument. Why do you say that the best love stories on TV are between two female friends?
I remember watching Gilmore Girls, which is kind of one of the great examples of this, when I was a kid, and well, I was a high schooler, and then into college, and it bothered me that they were pulling apart the central love story between Luke and Lorelai. You know, they had the will they, won't they for years. They finally got together, and then they kept pulling them apart for reasons that really didn't make any sense. And while I was watching this, I noticed that one of the, other than the kind of central relationship between the mother-daughter between Rory and Lorelai, my favorite relationship was between friends on this show, with Suki and Lorelai or Paris and Rory. It felt so much more layered and so much more developed because they didn't need to be pulled apart. They didn't need to have this. They didn't need to make their relationship interesting. And then I kept kind of noticing that in other series as I watched it. I mean, we're talking 10 years ago on Gilmore Girls or even more, but as I watched other shows, I noticed that the relationship that I connected to was less between men and women, or these romantic relationships, and was more between female friendships. And I loved shows that were able to capture how really complex this best friendship between women can be. I've been lucky enough to experience it, and the shows that I always wanted to watch were the ones that involved, that I could relate to this female best friendship. Because, you know, a lot of the time, I don't see my relationship on TV. My relationship is kind of, my romantic relationship is kind of boring. You know, we've been together for a while. It's not exactly exciting. I mean, that's because we have a lovely, functional relationship. But I did get to see my female friendships, because they didn't need to be a dramatic. There didn't need to be a dramatic kind of catalyst for these female friendships.
And Molly, before we get more into particular shows, do you think that this is art imitating life a little bit, and not just your life, that maybe for a lot of women there is that love relationship, however that may be, stable or up and down, but there's a stable thing, that rock is that female friendship for a lot of people?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at a show like Friends, which did male and female platonic relationships and romantic relationships, you know, to varying degrees of success, one of the reasons that show was so good was, and why it's still endorsed today, is that we look at it and we think, okay, in our 20s, in our early 20s, and into our, before we kind of settle down with our partners, our friends become these familial surrogates, right? We're not living with mom and dad anymore, so now we find these meaningful relationships in the people we surround ourselves with, and they're there to help you move, and they're there to when you're sick, and things like that. And that, you know, so that those relationships are formed and they continue. I think that even when, I think the great thing about platonic female relationships is even when you do find your partner, those relationships tend to continue. So yeah, so it's not just me. I think that there are a lot of women who probably relate to this phenomenon of seeing their best friend in kind of in these television shows.
So you just mentioned someone who's there when you're sick, and the first example you cite in your piece is from Grey's Anatomy. We're going to listen to a bit about the relationship you mentioned there. It's a scene where Dr. Christina Yang is telling Dr. Meredith Grey why she is listed as her emergency contact.
Anyway, I put your name down. That's why I told you I'm pregnant. You're my person.
I am?
Yeah, you are.
So you're my person. What's so powerful about the relationship between Christina and Meredith?
So one of the things that that's so great about Grey's Anatomy is this relationship. And a lot of people said that once McDreamy was killed off last season, they would never watch it again. But for me, once Christina left a couple seasons ago, I was like, I'm done. There's no point to this anymore. This was what kept me there. Christina Yang as a character is very cold. She only relates to very specific people. One of those people is Meredith Grey. Meredith tends to be the little more of a free spirit in the relationship. She's a little bit wackier. She kind of has, she's more emotionally driven than Christina, who is all fear, all kind of practice and rules and laws, and she's very by the book, while Meredith is a little more emotionally driven than that. So really, they do have the same dynamics of a kind of the great romantic relationships. But one of the things that works so well with them is that when she says, you're my person, what she's really saying is, you're my emergency medical contact. Like, I can't go to the hospital and get this procedure that I need because I need someone to be there just in case something goes wrong. So if something goes wrong and the worst happens, the first person I want them to call is not my mother or my boyfriend or anything like that. It's my best friend because I know that she's going to be there. One of my favorite scenes later in the series, because you're my person comes up a lot, they use it as a refrain throughout to explain this intense love that Meredith and Christina have between each other, is when Christina's trying to explain it to her fiance, and she's saying, she can't figure out a way to express how much she loves Meredith because she's not an emotional person. So the best way she knows how to do that is by saying, if I was going to murder someone and I needed to hide the body, she's the first person I'd call. So it's kind of this sense of, and you're right, the laugh line in the show, but it's kind of the sense of if you're going to call one person, there's one person who's going to bail you out of jail. There's one person you want to tell how awesome your day was. There's one person who's going to really pick you up when you're a total mess. You want it to be this one person, and for Christina Yang, it happens to be not her fiancé, but it happens to be her best friend. And I think a lot of women, even who have, stable romantic relationships, kind of have that one person outside of their romantic relationship that is the person that they would call if things got really bad.
We're talking about female friendships on the TV with television writer Molly Eichel. She says the most important love relationships on a lot of TV shows, not the romantic interest, not the romantic subplot, the platonic love between two female friends. We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We have Sam on the line in Mequon. Sam, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up, Sam?
I just wanted to bring up my favorite pair of female friends on TV right now. It's in the HBO show Game of Thrones, and it's the relationship between the one ruler, Daenerys Targaryen, and her interpreter.
Okay, what do you like about that that relationship? Not a show we go to look for a lot of love sometimes, Sam.
Yeah, it's not, but it's a show that's really intense and has really gripped the minds of the nation. And it's in the relationship, I just find it fascinating how it starts off as her buying her as a slave, essentially, and then her freeing her, and she's her translator and becomes one of her most trusted advisors and is always there with her and really becomes one of her most important friends that she has.
Sam, thank you so much for bringing that up, Molly. So there's a thing where the character Daenerys Targaryen is dealing with a lot of men in her life, not always romantically, often as enemies, and has this, Sam says, female friend, companion she can rely on.
Yeah, I love that. I didn't even think of that example, but I love that example because, right, here's a woman whose life is total chaos. She, every time she thinks she has some kind of stability, something terrible happens to her. And really, that's how you think about a lot of these characters. But there's one constant in her life, and it's her friend who's with her all the time. And there's, right, she has a romantic partner, and then she has other suitors, and she has other people who she has advisors who kind of come in and out of her life, but the one constant in her life is this woman who she trusts implicitly and will never, you know, and would trust her with her life.
We're talking to Molly Eichel about her piece for the AV Club about female friendship on TV shows. She says they are the best love stories on TV.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with the idea that the best love stories on TV are between female friends? What's your favorite female friendship story on television? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our discussion now with Molly Eichel from the AV Club and the Philadelphia Inquirer. She says the best love stories on TV are between two female friends.
What do you think? Call 800-642-1234. What are your favorite love stories on TV, platonic or romantic? Do you think female friendships are pivotal in movies, too? Who's your favorite pair of female friends in pop culture? Call 800-642-1234. Oh, and does this mean something? Does this reflect something in our culture? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
So, Molly, you bring up Sex and the City as an example. Let's take a listen to a clip from that.
I gotta hand it to you, Samantha. Not blowing us off for a guy in your condition. Very classy.
Well, we made a deal ages ago. Men, babies, doesn't matter. We're soulmates.
So, Molly, this is a show, at least on the surface, based on women looking for men, looking for love, looking for sex. So why are the relationships between the female friends so important?
I think that's one of the things that really separated Sex and the City from other shows about, you know, from really anything else that was on the air. I think that especially after the two movies, which, I was a big fan of the series and hated both of those movies. But one of the things that has been kind of forgotten about Sex and the City, especially as we start talking about sex and especially female sexuality a lot more, the Broad City women are fabulous at this, was how kind of refreshing it was for just a group of women to sit around on television and talk about what they liked and what they didn't like in bed, or what they liked and what they didn't like as men, or in men. But one of the things that I thought about was when kind of revisiting Sex and the City is, here are these women who spend their entire episode chasing a man, being chased by men, having most of their A plot involving men. But when it comes down to it, what they always rush to each other at the end. The most fleshed out characters on the show were always women. It was always the four women. The boyfriends were always, especially of Carrie, were always these kind of collection of adjectives and archetypes rather than actual people. And while the women on Sex and the City, while her friends were these kind of fleshed out real human beings, I think you see that in like a lot of different areas of the show. And I'm specifically thinking of when Samantha had cancer, and Samantha she's this woman who isn't anchored down to anyone. And when it came down to needing a person and to go back to the Grey's Anatomy analogy, she called these three other women who, yeah, most of the time they're talking about shoes and men and kind of these superficial things. But over the years they've created, and over the years of this series, they've created just this kind of strong bond that was stronger than any relationship that Carrie or any of the other ones had between a romantic partner.
We'll go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Melody in Horicon. Melody, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up, Melody?
I believe that there were two shows that really showed the friendships and platonic love between women. One was Designing Women, and the other was Golden Girls. And it was four women with tremendously, vastly different personalities who managed to love each other in spite of their differences and different morals, different religions, different backgrounds.
Melody, thanks so much for bringing that up. And there are a surprising number of Golden Girls fans in the Wisconsin public radio world. We actually almost pulled the song. Thank you for being a
friend. Thank you for being a friend.
Molly, there are a lot of shows, not just new shows, that have this focus you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, like, right, you see the Golden Girls relationship as kind of this progenitor to Sex and the City, of these four women, who are together all the time. And I mean, they live together when it comes to the Golden Girls. And so, right, like they have these kind of minor characters come in and out of their lives. But really what they've done is they've created this kind of new family for themselves. And you see that in shows like, right, Golden Girls, Designing Women. And then on newer shows like Playing House, where they don't need anyone else, right? They don't need a husband or children. They have those things, or they had those things, but they don't really need them so much as they have each other, and they may not be sexually fulfilled, but they're at least emotionally fulfilled. And that's where I really see the important component of this, is that there's a lot of that emotional fulfillment is still there. And you definitely see that in a show like Golden Girls or Designing Women.
Let's go back to the phones, and Pete in Reedfield is on the line. Hi, Pete.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess my question is wondering whether or not this issue of intimate and really in-depth relationships might be true for buddy films, too, you know, kind of like Sundance and
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah, there you have it. But, you know, I'm just wondering if there isn't something that, you know, not necessarily have a sexual edge to it, but just, you know, you see it in same-sex relationships. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, anything for the dudes out there, Molly?
Well, yeah, I've been looking specifically at TV, and there is certainly this component of male friendship. I just don't think it's as prominent. You know, while I was writing this essay, my boyfriend kept bringing up Scrubs. He kept saying, well, what about Turk and JD?
Yeah.
They have this fantastic relationship as well, that is, you know, where they're constantly making fun of the fact that they're closer than each other's, but to each other than to their romantic partners. It's a running joke throughout the series. And, you know, it's one of those things that, like, yeah, there's that example, and there's a couple other examples of these kind of best guy relationships. I mean, The Odd Couple alone spurned how many different theories in which they're based on this kind of male best friendship. But to me, it's not as prominent, and I don't see it as often, you know, where an entire show is built around this platonic relationship between people. And I think that one of the great things about female friendship is that you can really build an entire series around it.
Talking to Molly Eichel from the AV Club about female friendships on TV, the best love stories on TV. She says, let's check out one more, Parks and Recreation. Here's a scene on the eve of Anne's last day in Pawnee. Leslie, the main character, is saying her goodbye here.
Oh, Anne Perkins, you perfect sunflower. You totally changed me, you know? You taught me how to balance my life, how to be patient, how to be more patient.
Yeah, that's better.
How to throw bureaucratic caution to the wind when it came to Ben. But most importantly, you taught me that I can't pull off a tulip skirt.
It's just not your shape.
A friendship with Leslie Knope, daunting to say the least. What do you make of that one? Definitely a full-on comedy series, but very strong friendships in this one.
So one of the great things that I love about Leslie Knope and Anne Perkins is actually when they fought. So one of my favorite episodes of Parks and Recreation is literally called The Fight. And they Leslie wants Anne to apply for a job in Pawnee and in government, and Anne's not really entirely sure if she wants to do it or not. And then they kind of passive aggressively nip at each other for a while. And then they both get hammered, and they have this, like, they just have it out at each other. And it's hilarious. They're both very good at playing fake drunk. But really what's so great about it is that it sounds real, right? It's this fight that they're having is really based on the fact that they didn't want to hurt each other's feelings. So they weren't actually saying what they wanted to say to each other. And so it's this kind of great, like, we love each other so much that we don't want to hurt each other, when in fact we're really just hurting each other more. And then they kind of have it out in this, like, hilarious fight in the women's room. And, you know, I, once again, have been lucky enough to experience a lot of these female friendships, and I've certainly been there. I think we've all, I think if you've had that best friend, you've all had that moment of like, oh, I love her so much, but I also want to murder her a little bit.
And that's a great place to leave it, Molly. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Molly Eichel. She's a contributor for the AV Club and TV writer at the Philadelphia Inquirer. She talked about her piece on how female friendships are the greatest love stories on TV. You can find a link to that piece and continue the conversation on the Central Time Facebook page.